Jordan Peele's new satirical comedy horror film, Get Out, is so good, we had to do another podcast about it. The other day, we spoke to Zach Stafford, a black guy who finds himself in awkward situations with some of his white family. Today, we're joined by Meg Grunewald, a white gal who enjoys a little diversity in her romantic life and whose parents are into hypnosis and brain surgery.
Join us as we kiki about Meg's romantic life and all the awesome stuff we find on the internet, like Funny or Die's brilliant Trump Get Out parody. Plus, vampire websites are nothing new, but they now seem to be targeting progressive news sites.
3D digital printer pizza comes to NASA.
All pink Starburst edition.
Starbucks whiskey barrel roasted coffee beans.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger says President Trump is in love with him.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Come with me if you want to save America. Not Shaven gives me more time for misbehaving. Get this sexy t-shirt and all our fabulous designs at feastoffun.com/store.
Megala, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Megala, can you find me in the night?
If I have a flashlight.
Yay, Meg Grunewald. Vine superstar, white woman who likes to date men of color.
Oh my God. What?
And fitting
you go
with
on
our
one date.
Yeah. It's Get Out, the week on Feast of Fun. Yesterday we had Zach Stafford talking about the erotification of the
fetishization and the racism in the movie Get Out. And so we're going to have Meg talking about how she,
as a white woman.
Yeah, as a white woman whose parents are really into hypnosis.
And she likes
and
to date.
Kind of creepy. Your parents are lovely.
You're going on a date tonight with a man who's African American.
Yes.
And you guys are going to go see Get Out again?
Yeah. No, we're not. I'm making dinner.
And then you're going to take him home.
And I'm going to take him home and make him
handcuff him.
I'm going to drink my white milk by itself. And I'm going to eat my Fruit Loops
separately
in a separate bowl.
Because you don't want to mix the white.
I can't have anything mixing.
No.
Guys, we don't want to give up too much about the movie. Should we talk about the spoilers? A couple of spoiler things that we didn't get to cover in yesterday's show with Zach really fast. So if you guys are listening, just skip about, I would say, like 10 minutes.
5-10 minutes.
Yeah. 5-10 minutes down the road, and hopefully the movie will not be ruined. And if you haven't seen Get Out by now.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's like opening weekend or like it just came out last night and we're like, blah, 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 like you've had a time.
But this is one of those movies together that you really want to know as little about.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you see it.
Before you
don't
see
it. I didn't know anything. You're the one that said, hey, do you want to go see the movie Get Out?
Yeah.
I'm just like, yeah, it looks good.
You know, lately I've been doing that with things. Like, I went to see Monster at Steppenwolf. I, like, just to go see random plays that I don't really know that much about. Or go to see movies and, like, I know nothing about this.
Makes it better sometimes.
Yeah. The thing is, I knew that... I saw the trailer for Get Out, but there were a lot of twists and turns that I was like, okay.
Didn't expect it.
First of all, you know, because Feast of Fun is about fun and awesome things that we find on the internet that strike our conversation. Meg, you found this amazing parody by Funny or Die.
Yes, and it's the Get Out of the White House, and it's just... I mean,
it's Ivanka Trump.
It's Ivanka Trump being like, oh, I wouldn't subject her. Like, she's being the creepy white girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And then they've just masterfully edited all of Trump being like, I love black people. I'm not racist. Yeah, black people, black people. And the guy being like, no, you crazy.
And it's fantastic.
It's really good. You should totally check it out.
One of the best things I've seen edited. The editing's very strong. And, you know, there's enough, like, really disturbing footage of Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump together. And they just hit all the points. And so definitely check that out. Now, one of the things that we didn't get to talk about yesterday was the surprise ending for Get Out. Again, please don't listen to this and save yourself a little bit of the movie. So when our hero, Chris, has all shit has gone to hell and he's managed to escape the family compound, he's out there and he nearly strangles Rose to death.
Yeah. Well, he does, and then her creepy smile.
No, he does. He doesn't actually get to kill her.
No. I know.
Grandpa comes up and hits him off. Right? Is that how it works?
I think so. That's what happened. And so then the police show up, and we're like, "Oh my god!"
We're like, "Oh no."
Hit shit is at the fan. Originally, Jordan Peele, he wanted to have the police officer from the beginning of the movie be at the end, sort of, you know, to frame it. But as I think he wrote that in the, I think, 2009, just a year after the Obama got elected. And of course, we're in different times now. Yeah. And so he said that it would just be too heartbreaking. And so he wanted to turn Chris into a hero that actually survives.
Well, and that's that was a moment in the theater that's great, because we realize it's his buddy. And we're like, yes. And people are cheering. Yeah. Talk about going to the movies with Fausto. Fausto's the one kicking it off, being like, oh no, they did it. Don't go in there. Don't do that.
He likes to talk.
He's like, bah! Like, you did pave the way for the audience to be like, oh, okay. This is a lighthearted, racist horror movie.
She was like, oh, I can't believe I just screamed so much. And I'm like, it's a horror film.
Well, the thing about that ending, I like it because it really works, because it lightens the whole film
up.
Because the guy who is a TSA agent, he's like Rod Dean Dangerfield. I don't get any respect. Yeah. As a and he keeps trying to be like, I need some respect. And then he comes through and is able to, quote unquote, rescue his friend. But the thing that it would have been interesting to see if at the end, if he had gotten shot by the cop, much like they did in the end of Night of the Living Dead, because that was really, you see this guy who's this black hero and he really saves the day as best as he can, and he's the survivor from this terrible zombie onslaught, and then at the end he just gets shot. And that was very much done in the 60s and was very much a commentary on racism, and so it would have been interesting to see how that would have still taken place, especially with today and all these African Americans who have been killed by police.
I think, I think he was like, we've had enough death and destruction. Let's let this movie end.
But it certainly would have made it you would have left the theater on a much darker note. I wonder if they filmed that other end.
So Jordan Peele is hinting that maybe in the DVD release, there might be an alternate ending.
Oh.
Maybe, but don't hold your breath.
I know you guys probably talked about this already, but the BuzzFeed of like the things you don't notice. And there are certain movies that I really do enjoy when they come out and they're like, did you notice this? And you're like, oh, I didn't, but good. I love it when they put somebody called them Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. You got to find them.
Well, a lot of those Easter eggs are not just to make the movie rewarding to watch a second time, but it also to establish a universe.
Right. Yeah.
So he has three other movies coming, because obviously Get Out is a commercial and critical success. And so he has three movies with some of the other characters involved in other situations. So it's kind of like, definitely.
Everybody's dead, but
it's kind of like the Twilight Zone, where some of the characters, you see sort of a character, the similar characters in different situations. So I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Now I've finally gotten a hold of a GIF of the.
Okay, it's now safe to listen to the show.
You listen now,
so you guys can come back.
I finally gotten a GIF of the mom like swirling her tea with the cup and sent it to one of my friends, and he's just like, quit sending that to me. Don't send me that stuff. That woman ruined my life. I'm like, how so? And he's just, he's an African American guy, and he's just like, because that movie was just so jarring to me, and I'm just that's why.
That's your white privilege speaking now.
But it's great art, because it does challenge you on that level.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's good to make yourself feel uncomfortable.
Meg, I want to thank you for crossing the dicket line or the picket line on Women's Day to come and tape a podcast. Yes.
Boycott Day.
Boycott Women's
or
Boycott.
Or Girlcott.
International Women's Day.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. So celebrating women.
IWD, baby. IWD.
I know the day without women or whatever. I don't have a job to go to for them to miss me. So
wait a minute. A day without women, also known as paradise. Oh. I'm just kidding.
Love my work.
For maybe you guys.
I'm like, more dick for me. No, yeah, I'm just kidding.
I mean,
but so the
your
idea
dicks
behind,
don't want our bodies anyway. So
the idea behind the day without women is to women's rights, women's health care is certainly a political football to allow corrupt politicians to get elected. and they use people's misogyny to vote against their own interests. Mm-hmm. But one thing that that I was kind of learned about watching Michael Moore's latest documentary.
The Who Should We Invade Next? Yeah. I love that. That was so great.
Is that
so
in great. Some countries, and there's this growing idea that female leadership, especially when it comes to financial institutions, can be the saving grace of an economy.
Yeah, because we are not dumb. No, I mean, I think women just are, they think about things, they take into consideration a lot. They're a little bit more empathetic, so they can see the other side of things before making a decision, like, you know.
But isn't it kind of sexist to ascribe sort of like, you know, perfection or attributes to one gender or another? I mean, even ideal.
Well, look at like Margaret Thatcher, though, you know, it's like.
Well, there's not. Yeah, not every really woman is a great woman.
But I think there's the idea is maybe that people. This sort of competitive, you know, jockish attitude that tends to be obviously more common in men doesn't make for good financial leadership.
Well, it's also I think part of it, too. It's not just like a single man, but it's like it's a group of men. So it's one guy trying to outdo another guy trying to.
Whereas
outdo
women
another
tend
girl.
To work together.
Except in high school.
Women are more collaborative.
Did you see what Becky wore? Oh, I'm going to fuck her shit up. Mm.
They're collaborating on beating each other up.
That's true. Yeah. The movie Mean Girls, I don't know. Is that,
well, yeah. The thing is we have to teach girls and women and teach boys as well. But if you want to empower women, you have to teach women like, you know, this is a world where not everybody has your best interest in mind. So you have to learn what's important to you and to learn who around you needs and you can work with, you know, and if you teach, I mean, that's why the Girl Scouts is, you know, an interesting thing. I wasn't ever a Girl Scout, so I'm not speaking from experience, but from what I see in people's daughters, it's, you know, it's a chance for them to feel empowered as girls and do something together. And they learn about being a good friend and, you know, participating in social action stuff. I think so. I mean, I went to a women's college, so.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
All women's?
Yeah.
Where?
Scripps College.
No, but, and that's why you're bi.
Scripps isn't that.
God, what are you just
isn't
like?
Is there a gang called the Scripps? No, it's the Crips.
It's the Crips. Oh, God.
Where the hell is Scripps?
Don't you
at?
Wear purple? It's in Claremont, California. So it's part of a consortium. So there's four other schools that are involved in it. There's Harvey Mudd, Claremont McKenna, Pitzer College, Pomona College, and then
what
Scripps.
Was that like going to an all-girl college? Was it weird?
It was not that weird because there's four other co-ed.
Lots of pillow fights and shower together?
No, it was actually a lot of like man-hating. Blonde, pretty, straight girls from Seattle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it wasn't like, I mean, usually like the lesbians were like international or they were like in the artists or something, but it wasn't really, I mean, it wasn't like,
did a lot of people did your parents think you were a lesbian? Is that why they sent you
no.
to school?
No, I chose to go to this school.
You're like, I'm going to go to an all girls school.
I wanted to try transfer to a school and I could get in there and it was good. It was a great school. It made me very, I went to my 10 year college reunion last April and you know, it's awesome to just see like the different paths that all these women have, you know, walk mm-hmm. down, and people are doing interesting things like all over the world. And actually one of my friends started that PIN cause, PIN for Planned Parenthood ACLU, mm-hmm. and like Emma Watson was wearing it. And so, you know, this is somebody who lost their job at a startup, and her boyfriend like started this PIN cause thing. They've raised, I want to say they've raised at least, I think, $60,000 for, you know, for these causes. And it's like, that's the type of lady looking out mm-hmm. for other ladies that Scripps is, you know, part of teaching you mm-hmm. to be, you know, being
so
a
undoing
a
the high school
woman.
Competitive.
It's undoing
nature,
that. You know what? I mean, I think those people that want to be competitive and seek to take other women down, mm-hmm. that's just their own insecurity because really, you know, if you think you can climb to the top of the mountain by yourself, good fucking luck, because everybody's got a Sherpa. Okay.
Everybody's got a Sherpa. Did you see Emma Watson has come under fire recently because she posed, well, they're saying topless. She's wearing some kind of outfit that does cover her nipples and stuff like that. And she's wearing kind of like a shawl.
And so, a
few months ago, she talked about like Beyonce and Beyonce's poses. And she goes, I'm very conflicted about Beyonce. On one hand, I think she's wonderful. She's great. She's so empowering, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, she's a feminist, but really, I mean, when I look at some of her, like this photo here, she goes, it's done from like a male gaze. Uh-huh. And so it looks like it's very exploitive of a woman. And so the people are saying, well, look at you, Emma Watson. Here you are, you know, showing off your tatas, but yet you're criticizing Beyonce. And so they feel they're bringing up the point that a lot of women of color feel that white feminists really shame black women about their bodies and what they do, but then feel free to do it themselves.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I look at a lot of Instagram stuff, and there's a lot of pretty much women posing of all colors.
Yeah.
Showing all the bits.
Well, as we know from the movie Get Out, mm-hmm. that, you know, white women want all the black men.
Oh, my God.
Make them the sex slaves.
Yeah, that's what we're after. Those sex slaving.
That is a hot sex slave. Speaking of which, I hear that there's a conspiracy that Girl Scouts are not really liberating young women or anything.
What?
Oh, yeah.
They're just using them to sell cookies.
Oh.
You're just jealous because you don't have any cookies.
It's the cookie manufacturing tycoons started the whole Girl Scout things as a way to sell cookies.
No. The Girl Scouts were around
long before cookies.
We actually did a whole podcast on the history of the Girl Scout
Did you guys?
Cookie. How did you forget that?
Did you guys talk? You probably have. I mean, it was a while ago. Did you talk about the Boy Scouts accepting trans kids? You know, Girl Scout was accepting trans girls mm-hmm. for
a long time.
A while, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody who identifies as a girl and feels like a girl.
Yeah, there was somebody who was like, I'm not going to give a donation to the Girl Scouts because they accept trans girls. And then people are just like, oh, you're not? Well, here's $100,000.
Yeah.
You know? Screw
so,
you. Lady.
Yeah. Because you know what? I mean, they're kids.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's interesting in terms of female leadership, like the Girl Scouts and the YWCA, the Young Women's mm-hmm. Christian Association,
yeah. mm-hmm.
have always been much more progressive than their male counterparts.
Well, I mean, that's because. I don't know. You guys are dumb.
And our friend Kirthy, actually, she worked on a documentary that followed women that actually competed in beauty pageants. And they found remarkably that these women actually had, you know, you'd think that these women are idiots or they're just all about like looking good and pretty and stuff like that. But these women are actually end up being very well accomplished in their life.
I mean,
and go on to become doctors, lawyers, and business people because they credit, the competition in that beauty pageant and, you know, working towards goals as something that really has been life affirming and it has taught them a whole lot.
There's just definitely some beauty queens that have given the bad rep, like that one girl from a while ago. And she's like, well, I think that all of the world is a whole world. And I think that if we are able to go to other countries, then I think that the world will be a better world. Like, it was just the worst answer. And you're like, huh? Mario Lopez is like, thank you.
Well, you're involved in a little competition. You're involved in CrossFit.
Yeah.
And comedy sports.
And comedy sports, which is a big competition, but.
And both of those are sort of, especially with CrossFit, have a bit of a reputation of sort of focusing more on the competition than staying in shape and getting healthy. Or get criticized for that.
Yeah. I mean, I think CrossFit right now has the CrossFit Open going on, which is the 5 workouts that anybody competing in the CrossFit Games, which is like the Olympics of the CrossFit, has to complete. And that's how you gauge where you place in the world against the fittest people versus, you know, some old grandma that's jumping boxes. So it's the same. They have the prescribed RX workout, and then they also have a scaled version and masters and all that stuff. But they really want everybody to be involved because it's a great way for you to try and see how far you've come after being in CrossFit or, you know, what skill sets. Like this past week, it was 50 feet walking lunges with 35 pound kettlebells for women, 35 pound kettlebells there and back, and then 16 toes to bar, and then 8 power cleans with the dumbbells. So throwing them up to your shoulders, then you do that again, but then, and you do that. So you do that twice. Then you do that. And then you go to the bar for a bar muscle up. And that's where you're almost pulling a pull up. You go into a pull up, and then you pull yourself all the way over, so your body is completely, pretty much over the bar. So I can't do those yet, just singly and my own body weight. But a lot of people this weekend got them, you know, and for them, that's just one more point higher on their score. That's kind of a little bit better than somebody else. And it's for people that like, I can't do this movement. Oh, gosh. And then the magic of the open comes and they're like, oh, my gosh. And so on Friday nights at my gym, we do a big like Friday Night Lights thing where people are judging for each other and people are pretty much just drinking beer and hanging out.
You drink
out.
Beer at your gym?
Yeah, on Friday nights.
How many beers do you have after your workout?
The first week I was like, well, I'm not going to drink any water. I guess I'll just drink two beers. But people are like, Coors Light. It's pretty much the same thing as water. But it's, you know, I mean, it's just a fun social thing. And none of us are trying to get to the games. I mean, I'm not, if you look at the people that are on CrossFit games, I mean, they're like beasts. I mean, 24 abs, you know, like 24.
Well,
pack.
You're now a fitness model. You're on a Kickstarter.
Yeah,
video
I am on a Kickstarter for Squat Mate. Yeah, you know, that was fun.
So how did you get involved in this Kickstarter? Because do you know the person?
Yeah, my neighbor, the neighbor to my parents, who I've babysat and helped, you know, whatever with for over the years. She had this woman as a trainer and she was looking to find somebody that was an actor, but was also fit that knew that might be able to be in this video. And so she tossed my name.
And it's a device to help people squat better
for back squatting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's these handles that clip onto the bar so that your hands are,
ergonomic.
Yes.
Ergonomic hand positioning
biomechanical
devices to allow you to hold the bar when you're doing a squat.
Yeah. So that your shoulders aren't fully back. So your arms out, you're not hurting your shoulder capsules and all that business. So
Mark and I went to the Arnold Expo and there was this curved bench pressed bar. And that was the most amazing mm-hmm. thing that I wish every gym had. 'Cause instead of having your hands parallel to each other, they're slightly at an angle, and it really made a huge difference when you're bench pressing.
Wait, did you just say the Arnold Expo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where is that in
Columbus, Ohio. We went last year.
How many muscleheads are there?
Quite a few, but there's a lot of chasers.
Is your grinder like freaking broken the whole time?
Straight guys, either on the
really?
Hiding or on the down low.
There was definitely a very playful, happy spirit mm-hmm. there, but it's definitely like a very heterosexual environment. And the gay environment was like not really tied to the expo very much. And the gay people that did go to it were all like, they were sort of like when Brian Sweeney gets really obsessed with a fact about a comic book or a movie, you know, they're like, no, if Ronnie Crowman won in 2004 and he had 28 points more than Brent Stoller and blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, what are you talking about?
I don't care.
You know, and I was like, but it was really great. Actually, we shot some video footage that I'm going to post
Arnold.
Up.
Were there ladies on our there? YouTube.
Oh, yeah, tons.
And like Ripto.
Oh, yeah, total Ripto.
A lot
you
of
see
wild.
The competition. And the big thing last year was rhinestone covered bikinis.
Oh, yeah, those are very popular.
And there were a lot of far out, very exotic, very ridiculous fitness ideas, which was always fun, I think, and very humorous. And, you know, I think like the idea of your Kickstarter is actually a very sincere one, but I can also see it kind of being seen as kind of silly because it's like, why not just hold the bar, right? And
yeah.
And at a certain point, like with fat grips and with rubber bands and all these accoutrements, it's like when you go to the gym, you have probably more equipment.
Oh, I'm an accessory queen.
Yeah, a lot of props.
I got my wrist guards. I got my belts. I got my lifting shoes.
You're like a drag queen that just got off RuPaul's Drag Race and started to do a one-woman show. And so she has every single little
gimmick. I have
gimmick.
Everything in my suitcase. Putting on wigs and hats.
You know, I was very disturbed. You know, I was reading today is, you know, because we're all on Facebook, right? And we're all looking at things. And one of the things I've often looked at is, you know, something on Facebook called Occupy Democrats, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, this is the stuff that kind of, you know, we need to mobilize. We need to understand. We need to know what's going on. And so then I started reading an article by Alternet, which is also owned by Raw Story. And they do a lot of original yeah. investigating reporting. And what I didn't realize is Occupy Democrats and a couple of other sites, which I can name in a bit, what they are considered vampire sites. And the reason why they call it vampire sites is because they basically suck content from original reporting, and they use like software and devices beyond like Google Trends,
fake news,
and Twitter. No, it's not fake news necessarily, but what they do is they
it's plagiarism.
It's plagiarism, basically. Oh. They discover what's getting what they call velocity,
yeah,
like what's getting attraction. And so if you post something like within, you know, on Raw Story, and then like within an hour, they'll also have that up on Occupy Democrats. They might change the headline a little bit. Maybe they'll change a few words here and there, but they'll have like the original reporting, like even the quotes and stuff like that, just drawn right into it.
Mm.
And what that does is that, you know, it draws people away from the original reporting,
right,
and goes to this other place, which is basically a hack site. And so that they get the Google revenue and the Google ads. And so like the people that do the original reporting, they're not making as much money, so they can't continue doing what they're doing.
So I can't be reading my Raw stories anymore?
No, you can do Raw Story, because that's awesome.
Okay.
It's the Occupy Democrats that's being accused of this.
Well, and actually, this practice of plagiarism in journalism is pretty old. And this part of the reason people ask us, why don't you guys blog more often, is because we used to blog in conjunction with our podcast. Mm-hmm. And people would just, a lot of LGBT blog sites would actually use the content that we created originally and then pass it on as their own.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just became a situation, just like Raw Story is, mm-hmm, with Occupy Democrats, where they wouldn't get the ad revenue. And so there was just no incentive to do it. And so, you know, I think this is something that's been happening for quite some time.
But the use of the software, that's what's really changed it.
So the technology that's happening right now is allowing this process of plagiarism to happen much faster. And so, you know, I think like whenever we have a really good show and a really good topic, the chances are two or three blogs or sites, well, I'll find them elsewhere a couple of days later, you know. And to me, I'm like, hey, that's great that you're actually listening to this podcast and you're sitting through it and you're getting inspiration. And if you're able to do a better job at the same idea that we have, mm-hmm, I say more power to you. But the problem with this approach is that they're not doing a better job. They're literally just stealing content.
And they're not giving a hat tip or, hey, you know, this is what we were inspired by, this is our source, that kind of thing.
But I would also argue that BuzzFeed themselves, and we've had, you know, blog entries of ours stolen by BuzzFeed. We've had a lot of stuff taken off of Huffington Post as well. And part of it is like, it's frustrating because, you know, you work really hard, mm-hmm, and you want to create an ecosystem where we're sort of sharing ideas and having, mm-hmm, a conversation with each other. But it's very disheartening when you put out a program and you're trying really hard to make a living or just pay the bills and exist.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see this like giant corporation, this giant machine come in and just swipe and steal everything.
And that's why, you know, when we talk about major stories, I always try and give some kind of link in the blog notes to it. Now, I don't link to everything that we talk about because it'd be too much, but I'd be happy to share anytime anybody says, hey, where'd you get that information? I'm happy to share it.
That's the definition and originally where the term blog comes from. It's a log of links.
Yeah.
A web blog is a web log. And so if you're doing a good job at it, and I think ultimately in the future, the good guys are going to eventually win and are winning. It's just that right now we're temporarily distracted by these people who want to hack the system in one way or another.
Yeah.
And I think that's very discouraging, but ultimately, like, I'm starting to see a lot more original journalism, mm-hmm, coming out from BuzzFeed, and even maybe Occupy Democrats might, you know, see the light of day and invest in, mm-hmm, journalism themselves.
So, like, the Resistance Report, Occupy Democrats, the other 98%, those are the ones that are doing it. And sometimes I wonder, too, is, like, is this actually even, like a conservative conspiracy, mm-hmm, because they're just like, hey, if I hijack enough of their threads, even though it is promoting a liberal agenda, at least I'm taking money out of their pocket, and so they won't be able to fight as much in the future.
Well, is there a way you can put money in my pocket?
Yes, you can do it by donating at feastoffun.com/donate or become a plus member. You can become a plus member at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution to this show is what makes this show happen.
And I think actually in the future, we're going to see more audience supported media. Mm-hmm. I think the advertising model is incomplete.
Yes.
And I think I wouldn't trust any news source that is only based on ads. And I think that's part of the reason why New York Times actually succeeds is because they are subscription based revenue. And if you believe in the New York Times, become a member. You know, it's like you can't just take these things for granted. You have to invest in them. This is one of my favorite news stories that I found on the internet. There's scientists at NASA are developing pizza, 3D printer pizza, because it gets boring being out in outer space for so long. So they're attaching dough and sauce and topping cartridges to 3D printers and making these basically what looks like a diarrhea shaped pizza splatting on this counter.
Ooh.
And so they made one in the shape like the United States of America and then a pizza shaped like a heart. And then it goes into an oven and it comes out baked.
Wow.
And it's a
How
pizza.
How does it all stick together under with no gravity?
Well, it's a 3D printer, right?
Yes, so it's bonding together.
It's not needing gravity. It's positioning the dough where it needs to go.
Kind of some kind of thing. I wonder if there's a porn that can be written for that.
It just looks...
It's just floating in, like...
I want it to work. I love the idea. I love the idea of a future where we're sort of having this kind of quirky, you know, 3D printer sushi, 3D printer pizza, 3D printer ice cream. I think the Sean Spicer was really upset about those dots that
dipping dots,
you know. And but at the same time, it's a fun novelty, and I think it's cute, and I love crazy food ideas like that. And hopefully one day in the near future, we're gonna have very you know, Back to the Future 2, when they stuck the dehydrated pizza in the Black and Decker rehydrator and it comes out this giant piping hot delicious Pizza Hut pizza.
Well, in Willy Wonka they do it, so.
The Willy Wonka of coffee, Starbucks, has a new, I guess, they're taking whiskey barrels and they're putting coffee beans in them.
Yeah, they're taking aged
to age them.
In. Yeah. Well, they
what does that do exactly?
Well, so they take these wood barrels that have had whiskey aged in them, and then they put beans in them, and then they turn them over time, and they're trying to age them, and they say that it's going to take up some of that oakiness, and all the alcohol, of course, will be burnt off when they do the roasting process. So I don't really know. It seems to me kind of gimmicky. But maybe it will impart some kind of flavor.
Like you'd ever taste that whiskey with all the freaking caramel sauce and the milk and the other stuff.
And there's been like a huge, like, you know, uproar in the whiskey and bourbon community because, you know, you're getting all these small batch bourbons, small batch whiskeys coming out of Kentucky and Tennessee and all those places. But the thing is like a lot of them are just basically, you know, pure grain alcohol mixed with a little bit of water and then caramel flavoring.
And so it's bogus.
So it's bogus. It's not really even whiskey. Like it's like they might have it in a barrel for a day or something, or they even use like things to give it like that woody flavor.
To clarify, though, Starbucks some Starbucks do sell alcoholic beverages, but
mostly beer and wine, I think.
Really?
Yeah. But the one up in Evanston. Huh.
So to finish my statement, so Starbucks is using these whiskey barrels just to change the flavor, not to add any alcohol content to coffee, right?
Right.
And another product that was released, I think it was a year ago, was nitrogen infused coffee that was almost like an effervescent coffee.
Yes.
And Mark and I actually tried some at a Ravinia in the summer when we went to see Dolly Parton. Mm-hmm. And it was disgusting.
Was it like nitro coffee?
Well,
so it was carbonated, right?
Yeah.
But instead of like carbon dioxide, it was with nitrogen. Now that's the same kind of stuff that they use for
like a milk stuff
for Guinness.
Yeah, yeah.
So Guinness like has that little can. If you have a Guinness can, or if you have Guinness from a tap, it's usually hooked up to a nitrous. So it has like these little small little bubbles in it.
I like
and
that.
It has a creaminess to it. But to me, it just felt like kind of weird and fussy.
It wasn't.
Was it like
yummy.
An ice? It wasn't like an ice coffee.
It was cold.
It was cold. Yeah. It had a bitter taste, and it had this weird frothiness, and it was neither a Guinness nor a good cup of coffee. Disgusting.
It was always disgusting. Neither a Guinness, neither a cup of coffee. Just
all this talk about butter is making me hungry.
I'm sorry. Did you say bitter?
In Japan, one of the hot trends is birthday cakes made out of raw meat.
Lady Gaga, here you go.
So they just have like raw meat just draped over, like, it looks like it's draped over like a box or something like that. So,
darling, I brought you a birthday cake. It's already rotting.
And so, yeah, I guess she would just eat it raw.
If you were a tiger, that's a really great gift.
Well, you know, I've had like carpaccio is really delicious, you know, and I'll eat like a raw filet mignon. And this, you know, in Japan, they have some really nice Kobe beef. Yeah. So maybe it's something from that. So it might be nice. Yeah. And of course,
can you eat it raw?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you could.
There's a lot of meat to eat raw.
There's a risk there, but it's like when you're eating something that's meat that's raw, you have to really trust your source. You have to make sure that it's like the meat's been cleaned.
They would be good. That would be a good thing if it's tied up to like also one of those like grill places. So you get your cake in a meat and then you grill it. Peel the pieces off and throw it on the grill.
Ah,
that would be a good idea.
That'd be a good idea. Well, you know, we eat sashimi raw, and so they have they've had sashimi cakes for a long time there.
And part of it is like, I think an Asian sashimi aesthetic is to take food and shape it like flowers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I was a 10-year-old kid, I bought one of those fruit carving kits that you allowed you to make like flower watermelons and flower cantaloupe and flower
and
this.
No,
flower.
Nobody was surprised you were gay for that, right?
I guess most of these cakes really are.
Can I have the flower decorating set for the vegetables, please?
Well, they sold it on television. You remember? And it was like turning an apple into a swan.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Like, you're like, and I hope to work on a cruise ship one day.
I love turning shit into other shit, you know? So like, I call it tasty fakes, you know, like that's, making a hot dog made out of ice cream.
Yeah.
And it's like vanilla cake for the bun and the, you know, it's all, that shit
hence
is fun.
Cooking with drag queens. That's all you guys sure. do. Yeah.
Meg just helped us. We just completed filming one and we're going to film another one on Monday.
Yeah. It's a Hedwig and the Angry Inch inspired Cooking with Drag Queens. But yeah. I'm a little bit like,
was it a fig in a box? No.
A what?
Fig in a box.
Fig in a box.
Oh, that does sound good.
Fig in a box. Fig in a box. I'm just trying to give you guys some.
Oh. I'm a little bit like, we're trying to figure out like how to make this, you know, refer to the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the same time, sort of like resonate with a guest, you know,
well,
and also be something unexpected and new that people have not necessarily seen before.
I'm sure you don't want to talk about it on air, but
yeah, you have ideas.
I am curious what you.
Maybe we have ideas. We'll talk a little bit.
Part of it is like sometimes we just do things just to have the queen kind of like struggle and grimace.
Well,
and,
like I like that, you know, like I liked the chicken nuggets tying with Tranicarax and like, you know, because it that way they're like, oh, this is sort of like
that's what specially, she eats.
That's what she eats. So this is something she'd actually make.
She actually said that was one of the most delicious things she ever eaten in her life. And we asked her, like, are you going to do this at home? And she's like, hell no. Donald Trump and the Republicans have unveiled the what they call the world's greatest healthcare plan of 2017. Mm-hmm. Does this mean they're going to be changing our healthcare every year?
I don't know. I'm surprised they didn't just say it was the world's greatest healthcare plan ever. All 60 some pages.
And so right-wing conservatives are upset because it's being they're pretty much keeping most of the things about Obamacare. The only thing is that billionaires have to pay slightly less.
Billionaires?
But everybody else is screwed and everything's the same and nothing's really changing.
I thought like 10 million people were going to lose their health care. And as Paul Ryan says, you know, but the good thing is we're lowering costs for some people.
Well, there's a chance that may happen. Okay.
Stop buying those cell phones.
It's unclear.
Yeah. Those expensive cell phones.
And you could just buy healthcare, guys.
And what's most remarkable to me about this plan that's like some 60 some pages is that there's actually 6 pages in this healthcare plan, which is supposed to cover, you know, the whole country, you know, everybody. 6 pages deal with it on how they're going to deal with people who win the lottery. So almost 10% is going to deal with how do we handle people who win the lottery and are already on Medicaid.
Which is like nobody.
I know, right? Isn't it crazy? It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts.
Well, part of it is like, you know, when we had Nadia Ginsburg on the show and we were talking about how everybody has a right to health care and everybody has a right to higher education. And even like progressive people had a problem with wealthy people accessing the same type of education for free.
Yeah.
And it's not really for free. Government subsidized. Yeah. Taxpayer subsidized. And instead of, you know, inflating our military machine, we would be investing on our citizens mm-hmm. and in our infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, both conservatives and liberals, I think that's a part of the problem that we have here in the United States, is that people feel like, if you're rich, then you should be paying for everything, you know. And then the thing, and conversely, poor people shouldn't. Need to work harder to access mm-hmm. education and healthcare.
Yeah.
No one deserves to be healthy and to be educated.
Yeah. And nobody should have the government involved in this. And I think it's really interesting when you look at Michael Moore's "Who Do We Invade Next?"
Yeah.
And if you don't get a chance, if you haven't had a chance to watch it yet on Netflix, please do, because it really will open your eyes up to like how the rest of the world is really living. At least, you know, the developed countries.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Oh, it's on Amazon Prime. Okay.
Yeah.
And so he's like, you know, we consider that, we say we have like these high taxes here in the United States, and you'd be like, but in Europe, they're even higher. And he goes, but look at what you get for your money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's just like, when you say you're complaining about paying like 5 or 6% more in taxes, but you're actually getting like 20% more of goods, you're getting your health care, you're getting this taken care of, you're getting that for, and you know, It really makes you wake up.
I mean, I pay a very, mm-hmm. you know, hefty amount each month to be a healthy person.
Yeah. And, you know, if I were to go back to school, or if I had done, you know, if I were going to school now, I would do what a lot of some of these Americans are doing. And I would go to some place that actually has a country that has free tuition, because hell, you get to live in Europe. And you
get
free
tuition.
Well,
we know how that goes for you.
You know,
German man. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was Slovenia, which is where Melania Trump is from. And I believe Finland also. In Finland, it's illegal for people to open up private private schools.
Oh, yeah.
It's illegal to open up a private school, because once somebody starts paying for education, mm-hmm. then the other mm-hmm. existing schools feel pressure to do so.
Yeah. But you know what it is? I bet the really wealthy people in Finland probably send their kids to like Swiss boarding schools.
That's what I'm guessing. They get them out of the country like they do in the United States.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Arnold Schwarzenegger said in an interview that he believes that Trump is obsessed with him.
I think you're in love with me.
He's in love with him.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he thinks that Trump is in love with him because
keeps talking about him.
Arnold is Trump's idea of a successful, popular Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And so Trump is basically saying, why can't you people love me?
Yeah, because he's so in love with himself, he thinks everybody else should love him too and wants all that approval.
Tell me you love me.
What? Tell Meg?
I love you, Meg.
We love you,
Thank
Meg.
Thank you. No, that's like Trump. He like walks around. He's like, that was a good speech, right? You like that, huh? Tell me that was good. That was good? Yeah. That was good.
The handlers all are saying
handlers.
Things to him. Like his
he's
handlers,
a dog in a show.
You know? And the people that work in the White House, they're all like, they all have to, like, they say that the insiders are saying we have to always puff up his ego and compliment him and tell him he's doing great and be like,
so
306, Mr. President.
So he's just like every child that is growing up now. You did great.
Snowflakes.
Here's the trophy for doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I think we should encourage
millennials.
We're comparing. You're throwing a lot of things out there, Meg. First of all, we need to encourage children to participate in mm-hmm. things. And I think giving kids medals for participating in something is perfectly fine.
It's
not ruining society.
No. But when they are walking around expecting just literally constant praise for doing nothing, that's the problem.
I think maybe
that
perception of children being sort of entitled or being sort of antisocial or difficult. I work with kids too. And part of it is
I'm a recent kid worker.
But anyways,
kids are shits?
My amount
They're
of time.
Not shits, but
I think your frustration, and when I deal with kids and my current job, I think part of the thing that I'm observing is a lot of parents don't have the ability to interact with their children on a daily basis because of the economy keeps them away from their families. And so as a consequence, a lot of kids are being raised by their smart devices or their television sets. And so they get unrealistic expectations of reward versus effort.
Okay. I will go along with that. I do see your side, and I do think that like we want kids to be involved, and yes, getting something for participating. I do get that, and I see that is that, but that is beneficial. But I think it's just more like teaching kids that they're not the only people in the world. Like I teach fifth grade.
Empathy, you mean?
Yeah, and the thing is, I teach my kids at a Sunday school. I teach them empathy. They know what it is. They they do know how to exhibit it, but they're also fifth grade and they're also very, you know, selfish. I mean, I get it. You know, you're fifth grade, like you're really not concerned with like a ton of stuff around you. You're aware of things, but like, the fact that you have homework,
the kids aren't woke. Is that what you're saying?
Well, probably not. But the thing is, I mean, these kids, like I asked them at the beginning of class, I asked them for their rose, their bud, and their thorn. So like something that's good, something they're looking forward to, and something you that's do not so good.
Like a gay man could not ask that question.
I want to know about your rose and your bud.
Okay, I don't know what that's about.
And your thorny.
But the thing is,
what is this concept? What's your rose, your bud, and your thorn?
This was introduced to me through other teams that I've coached, and it's okay. Just sort of a way to, and I do it with my other improv team, but it's just a way for you to check in with the people around. And so because I think it's important, especially in comedy, like for you to know what's going on in the lives of the people that you're performing with, because when you walk out, if you know that somebody's like, my thorn is like, I didn't get that much sleep last night. Okay, cool. I know that that's kind of where you are right now. That helps. Or like, oh, I've had the whole week off and I've totally relaxed. Cool. That's your rose? No, I'm just saying like, these are the things.
The good, bad, and the ugly?
The good, bad, and the ugly. So what I say is when I talk to these kids, like on a base level, their biggest thorn is that they have homework that weekend.
In Finland, they don't have homework.
I know. I think
homework's
it's a great
actually
idea.
Bad for kids.
But anyway, my point is I do see the point. I don't think that kids are like totally terrible, but I mean, because they've been given like this constant praise, but I do think there is a time when they are made to think that they're the only ones that exist. And it's like, you need to wait
grow out of now. That.
Yeah. You like also, you need to take your turn. Like there's other people around in the world that it's not all about you. So when they talk about the rosebud thorn, some of them will be very excited. They'll share. And then they like are sitting there and quietly chitty chatting to the person next to them. And I have to say, you wanted somebody to listen to you. Now you have to pay them the respect and listen to their things that they're contributing.
So like, let's ask ourselves this question. Why is an individual having a difficulty in paying attention to another person speaking in the room?
Because they have little invested in that other person.
And part of it is because they don't have any frame of reference. For a lot of those kids, I would imagine that is one of the few moments and opportunities they actually have to sit down and listen to another person face to face saying something to them.
Maybe.
And so they don't. So how can we expect them to behave differently when they don't have that experience?
Well, that's why I'm giving them these experiences, and that's why I encourage them. I do a friendly reminder of like, so the talking that you're doing right now is showing disrespect to the person that's talking. So I try to give it a little bit of context because, you know, I mean, we're all guilty of being rude to people.
Yeah.
So, you know, but if I can set an example of like, you know what, you may not be super thrilled to be this person's partner, but when you say, that tells that person, you know, there's these little things that I know they're going to do these behaviors, but when they're in my presence, I like to point that out in a nice way of just like the choice that you just made has an impact on somebody else. And if I want us to have better humans that don't go into government and destroy and be like, I'm not homeless, so I don't need these, you know, all these benefits. Like they get what they are supposed to do. It's just hard for them to implement it. You know,
sometimes. I think that when I hear people that are progressive or conservative or even Trump supporters or very liberal supporters, this idea that like kids need to toughen up, we need to punch them in the face today.
No,
we're loving kids too much and giving them medals. Oh, it's the worst thing that we can do to a child is to love them and give them praise. How awful are we today?
But here's the thing. Yeah. There's love and there's praise. And then there's just giving people things. If you want to give a ribbon or a trophy to somebody that walks up and you look at that kid in the face and you say, you did a great job this season. We were so happy to have you on our team. That's great because that is a direct connection that's making that person go, wow, I was really valued. But it's so often it's just like,
here's a medal.
Here's a medal, kid. Walk along. Here's a medal. Yeah. Good orange slice.
It's, it's the metal lobby that's pushing. Really, there is an actual union and lobbies and organizations that go to schools and say, hey, if you buy 400 medals, we'll give you a discount. You know, and part of it is, I think, that it's much easier than to give a child an object than it is to look at them in the eye and say, you matter to me. You are perfect just the way you are.
Well, yeah. I mean, when I wrangle and I have, you know, I have kids of a certain age, I have a prize box that's a bunch of stuff from the Dollar Tree and little figurines. And I always say at the end, I'm like, you know, would you like to take something from the prize box? You did a great job. They're making money. But these are also kids that some of them didn't ask to do this job. They didn't ask to walk in and model. So for me, for them to walk away with something that makes it a positive experience, you know, that's fine. But I also try to make a connection and look at them and say, you know, oh, that's a really interesting hobby that you have, or like, you know, just to be another little love in there. I know I'm totally pro loving and supporting your kids, but I don't know if you need to buy them something every time they do a great job.
But you're a big fan of Lisa Frank and Mrs. Grossman stickers.
Mrs. Grossman stickers. That was the shit.
A silent moment for Mrs. Grossman stickers.
Is she dead?
No, but it,
it's not a popular thing anymore. She had such good stickers. There were stickers with
those kitty cats
best.
And rainbows and those hearts,
oh,
man.
The gumball machine. Oh, gosh.
Shit, that was like crack cocaine for kids.
Oh, man. So good.
Hey, I've got good news.
Yay.
Starbursts are going gay.
How are they going gay?
They're going all pink. They're going to have a bag with just the pink ones now until through April. So they're going to get rid of the lemon ones.
Those are the worst ones.
Some people really love them.
Why is it gay?
Pink is the color of gay people.
Oh, like the pink triangles.
So it's pride. They don't do a rainbow Starburst?
Yeah, I thought they would do a rainbow Starburst.
That's Skittles. Taste the rainbow.
God.
They're always the rainbow, though.
Starburst, you fucked up again.
But you know why it's all
Which
pink?
Which flavor do you like?
The lemon, man.
Oh,
shit.
I guess a lot of people don't like the lemon.
See, but you got to get
sour
them.
Sour puss.
That all pink, that juicy
pink. Pink is my favorite color.
Pink is not like other. So Richard Simmons is okay. Stop bothering him. Stop consuming media that says that he's being kept against his will.
Because it's bullying.
It's bullshit. Mm-hmm. We do not support it. Paris Jackson says she's African American and her dad, she's her father's daughter, and you know.
What do you think? Do you think she really is?
I don't know if it matters. Actually.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But I mean, if you were caring about the genetics.
Well, why are you caring? But that's the thing.
Race is
like,
a genetic
Paris's older brother said, he's just like, what does it really matter to you?
It doesn't.
It doesn't matter to you. He was my father, and that's the only father
but
I know.
For her to pass on the genetic material of
what are you
Jackson.
A Trumper Nazi geneticist
well, you know
no I'm just saying like there's something interesting about passing on the leg you know passing on the it, genes of mm-hmm. Michael
genes
Jackson
don't fucking matter
but I don't know does talent in a family does it get passed on
I don't know that's why I'm trying to experiment with her incubator baby.
Well, I don't know. Part of it is like, listen, those kids gone through some pretty difficult times and at least they have a lot of money and hopefully a good, strong support network to whatever they want to. But they won the lottery in a sense. Her biggest problem is what to do with her time, not how to provide an existence for herself.
I heard that when I was hearing interviews when he was alive after he died, and they're talking, his kids are like, we had chores. We had to do our homework. We had chores. Mm-hmm. We had to eat our food. Like they are making it sound like, you'd think that he'd be treating his kids like it's Never Never Land Ranch, like all the time, right? Neverland,
they only got to go like once a week.
Yeah, but it's,
like
and
that.
That's the thing is because, you know, it's like, I think we forget, we weren't able to see him in those, not that we're maybe, we don't need to see that, but like, we're never going to see those intimate moments where he's sitting next to his daughter being like, okay, so you move.
How does this add up?
Okay, so if you take two apples and you add one apple, how many apples do you have?
You get applesauce.
Hey, Meg, you're going on a hot date tonight. You're going to pull out wigs with your boyfriend and be like, I'm a blonde.
God.
What is a Meg with?
I do like to show off my room, though.
You have like a room with all your wigs. Yeah,
I do
like
to. I need to go through.
You should make him wear the wigs. Flip.
He does have kind of a shaved head though, so might work.
This will fit on you nice. What are you cooking him?
I'm making Cuban chicken, some Cuban yellow rice. And
what's Cuban chicken?
It's like a garlic, orange juice, marinating chicken thighs. Okay. I think I'm probably grilling.
It's chicken with flavor.
Cooked
those thighs a long time. Nobody likes a tough thigh. You know what I'm saying, girl. You know what I'm saying.
I was going to make lamb chops, but he doesn't like lamb, so.
I think that if you cook the chicken thighs slowly, they'll be a winner. Yeah. And basically,
What time is he coming to dinner?
7:30.
You're plenty of time. Get that shit in the oven.
It's not going.
Get the mojo criollo, the Goya stuff. You just pull out a bottle, pour it on top of the chicken, marinate it for an hour, and then slow roast it, and you're good.
I'm trying to make my own marinade. That's I don't know what this voice is.
You can use a bitter orange. Bitter orange makes a great marinade.
Well, it's already marinating. I don't need this information now. Yeah, it's been marinating. It's in the bag.
I got some black beans, hopefully, if it's Cuban.
Yeah.
You got some black beans, you got some yellow, you got some yellow rice.
The chicken recipe.
Got some flan for dessert?
No, we're going to take a walk.
Oh. Get some ice cream in Lincoln Square.
We'll see. Oh.
If anyone asks you why the beans got to be black, because that's how the Cubans like it. Just so you know.
All right. Well,
they like black beans.
All the one person that might ask me.
Why got to be black? Because it's flavorful, honey.
I want to remind folks that we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus.
And we got fabulous t-shirts designed by many of us, including me, at our store, feastoffun.com/store. If you want to sort of like transform this podcast into a fashion accessory, you can get t-shirts inspired by great moments in drag and things that happen on the show at feastoffun.com/store. Meg Grunewald.
That's me.
Have a bon appetit, my dear.
Thanks.
If you can't cook for yourself, how the hell are you going to cook for somebody else? You actually putting those words to action.
Yes, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that's the most important thing that you can do in life is really like nurture yourself and other people.
Well, and I think that, I don't know, taking your time to make a meal with love for somebody, hopefully somebody sees it and doesn't take it for granted.
Mm.
Yeah, sometimes it's like when people go to somebody else's house for dinner and that person cooked for them, and they're like, oh my God, is this vegan? And it's like, is this gluten-free? And I'm like, why didn't you say that before they cooked the meal? Yeah. Like, afterwards?
You know what you do is after he eats the meal, you give him a little trophy and say, thank you for participating in this meal.
Well, I said I'm trying two new recipes that I've never made before. I'm making the rice and I'm making that chicken, so.
How are you making the rice yellow?
Saffron, baby.
Okay. All right.
Mellow yellow.
I got a little recipe.
Quite right, slick. What the fuck is he saying in that song? Quite right, slick. Yeah, you matter to me, and I'd like to give you a medal of participation.
That's an ice cube, Faustone. Thank you. It's going to melt.
Well, everything is transient in this world.
At least it's wet.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.